cover with the fingerprints of God. Yeah, yeah. Well, good morning again. I'm Steve Tomlinson, the senior pastor of Shelter Rock Church. It is great to be with you this morning. And I have to say, as Pastor Jim referred to the rain, are you sick of rain? I know I am sick of rain, and there's still more rain in the forecast coming up, but I am grateful for a day like today, or at least we have a break in our rainstorms. But metaphorically speaking, I have felt that it's been raining in our nation. I read an editorial by Peggy Noonan, and she said, when Columbine happened, we were all horrified. When Sandy Hook happened, we didn't know what to do with our emotions. As time has gone by and shooting after shooting after shooting, we feel it almost like a numbness has set in and we don't even know how to respond to it. And so before I go into our word today, I want to just come before the Lord. And I'm going to ask him for several things on behalf of all of us. One is for the grieving families in Texas school that are just, they're not sure how to process this. What has happened? I pray for those who are giving grief counsel to these families. I pray for our leaders. What is the best answer? These are not simple solutions. There's tentacles. There's complexity. And we recognize this is also a mental illness issue as to how do we respond and help our students, people. And so realizing that this is so far above my head, above your head, we come to a greater God who is stronger than any of us. And yes, we do believe prayer makes a difference. So let us pray. Father, we recognize that we live in a broken world. When sin entered this world in Genesis chapter 3, we see the repercussions to this day. It's there all around us. And so, Lord, in our brokenness, we cry out into your perfection. And we pray, Father, for these schools, particularly now the school in Texas, trying to process what happened. Lord, trying to deal with the repercussions through counseling. Father, how it affects students, how it affects families. Father, we pray for our leaders. And Lord, I pray that across the aisle, there could be a sense of unity, that this would be a good response. How should we respond? Father, we pray for our mental health care providers, Lord, that they would have wisdom and guidance. Father, in all and through all, we're going to ask for an amazing thing, that you will bring glory to yourself through what you're doing in even the worst of humanity's expression among us. And we pray that you would do this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much. I feel like sometimes you got something on your heart and you just need to give it to the Lord. So we're continuing our message series right now. It's called Beautiful. It is targeting the women in our community, but it is for we guys also, because it is the Word of God and there's all kinds of good things that we can learn. But I want you to think for a moment, when you're getting dressed in the morning, have you ever had a time in your life where you forgot to do something before you left the house, and when you got to your place of work, your place of business, wherever you were going, school, you realized, when you looked in the mirror or when you thought something. So I raised this question to my wife, and without any pause, she said, yes, it was when I was in sixth grade. Now, many of you don't know that my wife was raised in Tehran, Iran. Her father worked for Iran Air, and so she went to an international school. And I don't know if it was a uniform or whatever, but she wore a dress. And when she got to school, she realized that under her dress, she had her pajama bottoms. And she was horrified to think that somebody could see that she's still wearing her pajama bottoms under her dress. Now, what I found fascinating about this is she's a few years past this. And man, it comes flooding back to you. The day that I went to school wearing my pajama bottoms under my dress. Well, what we're going to talk about today is the Apostle Peter challenging us, but specifically speaking to women, about how we adorn ourselves physically. And he wants to push us beyond that to how we adorn the inner woman. So if you have a Bible, let's open it now as we look at 1 Peter. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3. If you're using one of our Bibles, you'll find this on 1222 in any of the Bibles located around the room. And if you're using your own Bible, just look towards the back of the Bible. Go past Paul's letters. Just as you get past the book of Hebrews, then comes those general epistles, and you will find 1 Peter. We drop into the text, and Peter starts off specifically addressing wives. And he says, wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands, so that, purpose clause, if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives. When they see the purity and reverence of your lives, your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles and wearing gold jewelry or fine clothes. Rather, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For this is the way the holy women of the past, who put their hope in God, used to adorn themselves. So let's hold up right there and dive into this text. And it starts immediately with controversy. Don't you love that? I actually get a kick out of when the scripture brings me to a place of, how do I interpret that? Because what does it say? Wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands. All right, what does that mean? There's a few guys who might go, amen, brother, preach it. About time we heard a sermon about this. And there are other, you know, folks in the room who may not have that same inspiration. The Apostle Paul actually cuts to the chase on this issue in a beautiful way to help us understand. And before I go forward into our passage, I think it's worth spending a couple minutes to explain why this is in our Bibles in the first place. So here's what the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5. He says specifically, submit to one another out of reverence to Christ, or for Christ. Submit to one another. That is the header verse. And then under that header, he tells us what submission looks like. And he says, for you ladies, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And so what I'm seeing in this is this mutual submission looks different for a woman to a man to a woman, and as a child to a parent, because he wired this way. Now, I am a big fan of Shanti Feldhahn, who wrote these two great books, For Women Only and For Men Only. And she's done extensive research. Why I find them so fascinating is she touches what the Lord is seeing when he writes this. Here's a point. She polled 1,000 women and asked them, what do you need most from your husband? Respect or love? What was the dominant answer of the women? They wanted to be loved. Overwhelmingly, the response was, I want my husband to love me. What does Paul say to the guys? You need to love your wife. What's the standard? As Christ loved the church, laying down his life for her. That's the way you're supposed to love your wife. Now, she asked the same question to 1,000 men. What do you need most from your wife? Love or respect? Now, the guys like to be loved, no question about it. But if they had to choose, they put respect. And Paul ends the passage with, therefore, ladies, respect your husbands. It's what we are wired to need. And then, children, you obey your parents, because at this stage in your life, what you need is a covering of protection over you, and your obedience to your parents provides that. And so, when you read a passage like this and you see wives submit to your husbands, remember, God is looking at how he designed us. Remember we talked about the divine feminine last week, and that God doesn't exist as male. He doesn't exist as female. He exists in the image of God as male and female. That's Genesis chapter 2. So with that in mind, and as our foundation, here's what the Apostle Peter says to ladies today. And here's the first thing I observe. Ladies, you are the embodiment of the gospel. Ladies, you are the embodiment of the gospel. Look at verse 1. If any of them do not believe the word, referring to husbands, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives. Now, that is a really important principle. They may be won over by the attitude, behavior of their wives. By the way, the word for wife in Greek is the word gynekos. Now, what's interesting about that word, it either means woman or wife. So if you're single this morning, this passage applies to you. If you're married this morning, this passage applies to you. And what does that look like? How should I be viewing myself? Now, if you notice how our passage began, it said these words, wives, in the same way. What is it referring back to? It is referring back to the passage that comes right before this. And I'm just going to read it through very quickly. It's 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. To this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. It is in that context that Peter says, ladies, I have something to say. And the first thing he wants to say is, when you act in a way that reflects Jesus, you win your spouse. It makes a difference. Over my tenure being a pastor, I have met numerous people that say, I'm here today because my spouse was radically changed by whatever you're feeding them here. You know, whatever you're talking to them, I've never seen such kindness. I've never seen such love. I've never seen such forgiveness. I need some of that for myself. Can you help me get there? That is the power of evangelism, of drawing someone in because you are living a life honorable before God. You know how we have certain things in our minds that stick in our brains, even from childhood, like my wife when she was in sixth grade, remembering she had her pajamas on. Well, I remember I was probably a teenager, and at my church that I went to, we had a Sunday evening service in which she kind of like was more relaxed, and we had something we called testimony time, meaning where people stood up and said what God is doing in their life, or they would share a prayer request. Now, every Sunday night, without fail, there was a woman in our church who would stand up, and she would say, I'd like to pray for my husband George's salvation. That's commendable. She's very interested in praying for her husband George's salvation. I took note of it. And so did the whole church take note of this because George was sitting next to her. Every single week, she would pray for George's salvation. But you know, the day came when George gave his heart to Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you, if his wife wasn't living it at home, he would not have crossed over. And I remember he joined the choir and he became fully engaged till the day he was called home before the Lord. But I never forgot that. It was the witness, in this case, a very tangible and literal witness for this man, George, by his wife. Ladies, when your demeanor, when your attitudes, guys, when we act in a way that smells like Jesus, it is attractive for people to be drawn to our Lord. Here's the next thing I see Peter saying here. He says this, ladies, your adornment does not stop with your physical appearance. Dress the inner woman. Dress the inner woman. Here's how he says it. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles and wearing of gold jewelry or fine clothes. Rather, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. Now, we all know that dressing and looking nice for our day is important to many of us. And I'd say, ladies, it's important to you that you look nice and dress well. I saw this movie years ago, and I always remember the scene. It was called Working Girl. In fact, you can see the slide here. And I love this quote in the movie. It's from Sigourney Weaver's character. Dress shabbily, and they remember the dress. Dress impeccably, and they remember the woman. I always thought that was a cool quote. Because it is true, if somebody dresses really poorly, you take note of it. I would like to argue to take it to the next step, that when you're getting dressed, don't stop at the outward appearance, but go for the inner self as to how you're going to look today. Now, I have a household of women. I have 3 daughters. I have a wife of 33 years. I even have 2 female cats. And now we took in a boarder into our house, and of course it's a woman. And we have in all over our house this, all I can think of it as a devil device that is like found itself everywhere. You may have seen this even in your own home. It's one of these. Now, why do I call it the devil device? See, this side is fine. I look like the Steve that I'm familiar with. But this other side magnifies where I could see every impurity, everything wrong. I can watch the hair follicles falling out as they fall with this device. I don't know how you ladies use these things and face the world having this kind of view of yourself. But I will say this. If this would help you have this incredible face, what if there was some kind of magnifying reflection of what it might be to increase your character today? So I was a few weeks ago at our divorce recovery group. I was honored to be there, and I love the fact that our church has a divorce recovery group. But one of the folks that was there made this comment: I don't want to forgive my spouse. I have no interest in forgiving my spouse. Let me ask you, from what you know of Christianity, are we supposed to forgive? Help me here. Thank you, Lord. We are supposed to forgive. But let's be honest. Is it easy sometimes to forgive? No, it's not. You know what Peter is saying? Ladies, yeah, we make our hair nice. We wear jewelry. Don't stop there. Could you even for yourself, maybe it's forgiveness that I'm going to adorn myself with today. And you know what? Just like your makeup comes off at night, you have to put it on the next day. You have to put on forgiveness the next day because it's hard. It's not easy. Let me give you some suggestions. These are things that the Apostle Paul says to the Galatian church, and he says them in a beautiful way. He says it to Galatia, chapter 5, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit, what a Spirit-filled Christian pursues, is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. So you know what? This is a long list. You know what you can do when you're getting ready in the morning as you're putting the makeup on? Aim for one of these things. You know, I'm going to uniquely love my spouse because he's not been very lovable recently, but I'm going to wear love today. My boss causes me to have no peace, no strength, but I am going to come to work wearing forbearance, and I'm going to be patient for his behalf, because I am going to adorn not just the outside woman, but the inside woman too, and I want him to see that. Years ago, when Michelle and I lived in Illinois, we had friends that always had these wacky parties. One of the parties that they had was a semi-formal. Now, that doesn't sound too odd, except what they meant by it is wear a tux on the top and like pajamas on the bottom. It was hilarious. It was a funny party. So if you took a picture of everyone at the party from the top up, you'd see this well-dressed crowd. And then if you took a picture on the lower half, you'd laugh hysterically. I fear that's the way we leave our houses. You may be dressed to the nines, but when it comes to the character, you didn't spend a moment trying to build that up. And Peter says, ladies, as Christians, because of point number one, which is we are evangelists by our character, move to point number two, dress the inner woman, dress the inner man, not just the exterior. Which brings me to the last thing that the apostle gives us, which is a great piece of advice. Ladies, look backward to move forward. Now, what in the world does that mean? Okay, I come up with a cute little point here, but here's what it comes down to. Verse 5, for this is the way the holy women of the past who put their hope in God used to adorn themselves. In other words, you don't have to figure out this by yourself as to what should the inner character of a woman look like. There's stories in the Bible. There's stories in our lives that can help us. You know, as a household filled with women, there have been, over the years, stories that I would tell, my wife would tell, of our champion women that we look up to that I want my girls to look up to help them. One of them is the story of Esther in Scripture. Now, I'm sure some of you know the story, but here is a woman who is probably the most beautiful woman in all of the kingdom. That's how she ends up becoming queen. But you know what we find as we read the story? Her character far excelled above her outside beauty. And so we tell this story to our children about the Esthers that we have encountered. Women that, yes, they're pretty, but there's something beyond that external appearance. Or how about this woman? We actually named one of our kids after this woman. Her name is Tabitha. Her story is recorded in the book of Acts. Now, she's also known by her Greek name, which is Dorcas. My daughter does not appreciate if you call her Dorcas. But Tabitha is her name, and that works just fine. But why does Tabitha stand out? Because when she was sick, and ultimately when she died, everyone of her community went to the apostles and said, can we do something? Can we save her? Can we move? Why? It's because Tabitha had this character that everybody loved, everybody respected. And I want my girls to have that kind of character, like Tabitha, that if I was missing from the room, people would say, we're missing this person because she brings something to the table. And you guys have heard me over and over and over again talk about one of my heroes. She's from our generation, and that's Corrie Ten Boom. Corrie Ten Boom surviving Ravensbrück concentration camp and learning so much from her sister and becoming a woman of God. I had the chance to meet her personally and see what God can do in a woman's life. Man, I want my girls to know about it. But this is long lists of names. Check out these pictures on the screen. You can go to the next. These are a large group of women. Jarena Lee, Sojourner Truth, Phoebe Palmer, Fanny Crosby, Catherine Booth, Mary Seltzer, Amy Carmichael. These are amazing Christian women who changed their world in their generation. And the truth is, you probably almost know none of them. And the reality is, the women, you, I, our girls, our boys, need to know what women of character look like. So Peter says, ladies, you want to know what this looks like? Look to the past. And he's going to bring up, as he goes on in the passage, to bring up Sarah, Abraham's wife, as an example that we can look to. So today, as we continue this message series of Beautiful, the message is simple. When you get dressed in the morning, dress the inner woman also. Why it can transform the people in your life is they see something worth emulating in you. And if you don't know how to do it, hey, if you had a lovely Christian grandmother, look to her. If your mom was hitting on all cylinders on that, look to her. And if your family was not a perfect picture, look to the Bible. Look to these heroes, and you will know what a woman of God, beautifully adorned, looks like. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for the privilege of spending a couple minutes in your word as Peter challenges. And he challenges specifically the ladies among us. He's sensitive to the fact that we want to watch our hair and wear jewelry and have those kinds of things. But he pushes us beyond that to say, what is inside that needs to be cultivated, that needs to be developed? Father, we thank you for the image of Jesus Christ, who is the one, the ultimate one we seek to model our lives on. We thank you that he is a Savior, drawing people to himself. And so as we follow up and reflect on this passage, by your Spirit, remind us of what we need to know for your honor and glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.